This morning at the Quorum Hotel in Tampa, the Tampa Bay Regional Planning Council organized a workshop to discuss the Senate Bill 360, which deals with changes in the state's growth and management laws. WMNF reports. The bill has been the subject of many lawsuits and speculation since its passing. Panelists spoke about their positions and thoughts on the bill. Secretary of Florida Department of Community Affairs Tom Pelham says that it's important to look at what is said in the bill rather than get caught up in the controversy surrounding it.
Keep the big picture in mind and don't get lost in the weeds and lawsuits and contrived controversies. Senate Bill 360 does not replace the Growth Management Act. It only amends a very limited part of it. Senate Bill 360 cannot be interpreted or implemented in a vacuum. It is a part of a much larger Growth Management Act and growth management planning process. And it has to be interpreted in a way that works with the other parts of the process, especially the local government comprehensive planning process.
The bill deals with new state standards on growth and development. However, speakers emphasize that this bill does not mean that local governments can't propose their own set of standards on the transportation concurrency. Secretary Pelham pointed out the power that local governments have.
It does not contain preemption language. It does not say the state hereby preempts the field of transportation concurrency. It does not contain language prohibiting local governments from adopting stricter standards than the state has. And I point out that the Growth Management Act has always been a minimum criteria act. Local governments have always had the authority under the Growth Management Act to adopt stricter standards than state requirements. And finally, Senate Bill 360 contains no language whatsoever amending existing local comprehensive plans, and that's very significant.
Janet Bowman is the Legislative Policy Director for the Nature Conservancy. She spoke to the Conservancy's interests in the bill. She worried that the guidelines placed for the dense urban land areas, or DULAs, were too broad.
From the perspective of the Nature Conservancy, the reason we're interested in that particular problem is that, our job or our goal is preserving biodiversity, large landscape conservation. And, in Florida, development, sprawl, particularly sprawl type of exurban rural development that is not contained within urban areas really poses a threat to preserving, the important natural areas in Florida. So to us, the general concept of trying to encourage urban infill is really a very important goal and one that, certainly I feel that the growth management system in Florida has been less than successful.
Louis Rotundo of Rotundo & Associates noted that the new legislation is not original, but in fact is built upon a previous bill from 2005.
When this 360 was passed, I can tell you that I had comments from, I represent cities, I represent counties, and I represent developers. I've had comments saying, where did this come from? This is so new, it's revolutionary. And I tell them, no. It builds directly upon the original 360. The original 360 talked about, folks, go downtown. We don't want you building out in the hinterland. It encouraged you to go downtown. It facilitated large area planning. I'm not so sure a lot of it got done, but it facilitated large area planning.
Although the bill does not specifically require mobility fees, it does say that mobility fee studies must be conducted and reported by December 1st. Many panelists mentioned these fees, and Janet Bowman saw the possible problems and shortcomings with them.
I think one thing that's one challenge presented by the bill is that some of the TCEAs in smaller municipalities, some very rural municipalities, Clewiston, Belgway, just for example, are really not the kind of municipalities that we think of as most conducive to coming up with mobility options. So I think it's definitely a worthwhile endeavor, but it's complicated. And I think one point I would like to make is that nobody should think that the mobility fee itself is capable of funding an entire mobility plan, that there'll have to be other financing sources.
Land use attorney Ron Weaver of Stearns Weaver expressed his worries about the wording in many parts of the bill and that action may be taken in some cases. He He also said that there are many ways to determine these mobility fees.
Some people believe that what we're going to switch to is vehicle miles traveled. And I've even seen one study that says the mobility fee should be a $76 per vehicle mile traveled. So if I go 1 mile to work and 1 mile back, I'd pay $152 and I'm done. That's the full impact of my house when I get it permitted. That would be a mobility fee if you had vehicle miles traveled. I understand Haines City and Alachua County and others are engaging in modeling, which counts population, counts network traffic, counts the number of trips, and the time being spent making those trips as far as how we do figure out the mobility fees that are being studied, as Janet indicated earlier.
The idea for a glitch bill was addressed in order to clarify or clear up any issues with the Senate Bill 360. Despite the difficulties, Secretary Pelham has optimism for helping the bill succeed.
We can make this work. I would just point out that the challenges that were given us by the original Growth Management Act in 1985, and which we implemented in 1987 through 1991 initially, was a far more difficult task than this. And if we could make that work in some reasonable way, we can certainly make this work if we simply stay out of the weeds.
To read the Department of Community Affairs statement about the bill, visit their website at www.dca.state.fl.us. For WMNF in Tampa, this is Lindsay Cradwell.